Okay, let's open the Word, see what the Scriptures say. So, as I alluded to, the title of the talk is Fear. So open up to Psalm 111. Now, I fully realise that, you know, we are the least important person in our life. You know, everyone else is more important than ourselves. So I have to make an apology about this talk. Unfortunately, as I was going through it, so many examples were in my own walk. So so the apology being that I'll be talking about myself an awful lot. If it gets too much, then just start throwing pens at me or something, or maybe call me up afterwards not to talk about myself so much. But I'm hoping I won't bore you too much about it, but just it's amazing what the Lord does in our walk. He has a vested interest in us being successful. And so, yeah, the title of the talk is Fear. So we'll start with Psalm 111 and verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. Now, this word fear, it can mean respect. But I was thinking about this and I thought, well, it might be a bit out there, but I actually think the word fear means fear. It means being scared, being afraid. So the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And similar example is, you know, I was thinking about, you know, I love my dad, but when I was growing up, if he was angry, I was afraid. There was no doubt about it. I was afraid of my dad if I made him angry. And that fear was a good thing. I didn't want to make him angry, so therefore I wouldn't do things to make him angry further down the track because of this fear. It's the same thing with fear of the Lord. We desire to follow him. We desire to do his commandments, but we have this fear of the Lord that that we don't make him angry or annoy him. So turn to Philippians chapter 2, and it's the beginning of wisdom to fear the Lord. Philippians chapter 2, and it says also there, a good understanding have all they that do his commandments. So it's, Jesus says himself, if you love me, you'll follow my commandments. So Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. So not to rely on Paul himself, but before God. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. So there's that fear, that we are to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. And I was reflecting on this, like, I'm afraid of going to hell. You know, it's something that I'm afraid of. And as a consequence of that, it hones our focus. We focus on God and because of this fear and, of God and the consequences of not following God. And this verse makes it clear that God wants us to individually, each one individually has to consider our ways individually and what's important in our walk. And to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. And the fact it says there, fear and trembling, like so afraid you're shaking, you know, that's pretty fearful, really. There's a humorous example where in the reign of Saul that the Philistine, when Jonathan went in there with his armor bearer and killed 20 people within an acre, actually, and there was this fear that went on the camp of the Philistines, and they were that afraid, the earth shook. So they were that afraid, they were trembling because of this fear that the earth shook. And so that's what it says here, with fear and trembling, with this fear of and respect and regard for the Lord, we are to individually consider our ways and what's important. In my own walk, I often look back. I was a bit of a recalcitrant child if in my walk, knowing deep down what God wanted, but I just potter around and do my own thing to a point. And I have had many taps on my shoulders, many times. Someone might give a talk, bring out a scripture. They didn't know what was going on, but I get this little tap on my shoulder and I just ignore it, you know. But twice in my walk, I was looking back, that the Lord just got kind of tired of gently tapping me on the shoulder, and I got this wallop in the back of the head with a crowbar. And it's just what happens. And, you know, I was thinking about it, I thought both times I knew it was coming up. He gently tapped, and I thought, I know he's got to get me out of this attitude. And I knew it in advance. But the two times were when I first came to the Lord. You know, I didn't really have the vision on meetings. You know, I was wrapped that I found the truth. I thought, great, I could just flop along, you know, come to meetings, go home, la-di-da. You know, it's all right, I'm right with the Lord. Doesn't matter. Don't need to bother about anything. So I didn't really have this vision on the meetings. I didn't like living in Perth. I wanted to get out back in the bush. And so I accepted this job in Geraldton. And, you know, it was great. The Lord blessed my work. But the whole time, you know, it was coming down every fortnight for meetings. But for me, I realised later that wasn't enough. And then I went travelling. And I was thinking as well, there were two instances where it's just incredible what the Lord does. You know, I was in isolated situations. I could have gone and done something. Nobody would have known, you know, but the Lord, bang, stepped in and just pushed it all aside, you know, like he really protected me in those situations. And then so I was traveling around for a bit, and then my whole idea was when I came back was to head off on my push bike. That was my dream ever since being a wee-in, was to just retire on a push bike. You know, I had this great plan of just cycling around for the rest of my life, living in a tent. Ideal, you know, nirvana. And so I thought, this is the time I can do this. So I got back from travelling, back to Perth, went to a couple of meetings. I bought my push bike, got all the panniers and everything all sorted out, had all the gear, no idea. And I'd planned, okay, we'll have a year. I'll go up to Darwin and potter around, catch up with my parents and whatever. And so I headed off, all excited. 4 days later, I was back. I was so humbled. I'm thinking, I remember looking in my room and I'm thinking, I could do it again. I was so annoyed. 4 days later, I was back. I had this great plan. Some saints were saying, oh, you know, you shouldn't really do that. And I thought, whatever, I know what I'm doing. I'll even put a little sticker on my bike that said about the Revival Fellowship. Yeah, that's good. But I was back in 4 days. And then the crowbar across the back of the head was when I started regularly going to meetings in Perth. This was back in 2006. And I looked around at these people that were saved after me, all those that were saved around when I was saved, and I saw how they grew. I thought, wow, they've really grown in the Lord, and they can they understand what's going on. And that really shook me. So for a whole year, I just kind of, it's hard to explain, but I kind of withdrew and to focus on the word, start praying and just get built back up to where I should have been after this time of flopping around. And then in 2007, I moved to Bunbury. And again, my intention was just to come to the meetings and go back. I didn't really have any grand plans of contributing really, but obviously there were places that I could do things here, and so I was asked to do various things. So that was the first crowbar across the back of the head. The second one was this was pretty dramatic. Brent, you may be able to give me an idea. The first officers meeting that I went to was when you had that office in town upstairs on Victoria Street. Was that 2008 roughly? About 2008. So from 2008 to the end of 2015, so 7 years, I sat in officers' meetings. There's Andy smiling away because he knows the way I was. I sat in officers' meetings. I never, ever saw myself as an officer. I just sat in them. And I told Tim this. said, nah, I don't see myself as an officer. I just sit there and might contribute every now and again. Sometimes, and Andy's grinning again, sometimes I wouldn't say anything. I'd be in a right snoot. I don't need to be here. I'm not an officer. I just sit in them. And so for that 7 years, I was doing this. And then I went to Perth, you know, and the Lord knocked me across the back of the head with a crowbar. And I came back from Perth and I clearly articulated to Tim and I said, I've got it now. I can see myself as an officer. I'm so sorry for being so like I was, but I've got it now. So they were the two things. So, and in that 7 years time period, there were taps on my shoulder along the way and I would squirm, knowing something was coming up. But I was reflecting, I thought, well, why didn't I make it come up earlier? You know, why did I need that crowbar across the back of the head? Well, it's because, just the way we are, we're people. But it's just our walk, you know, and we work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. God has a plan for us. We may have an idea about what it is, but you might not have a clue, but he has a plan for us. And from what I've discovered, it's hard work being a Jonah. It's hard work being a Moses. Nah, I don't want to do it. I can't talk. I can't do this. It's hard work. Just, it's easy to follow the Lord. Easy to do what the Lord asks us to do. Malachi chapter 1 and verse 6. A son honoureth his father, which I referred to earlier, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is mine honour? And if I be a master, where is my fear, saith the Lord of hosts unto you? O priests that despise my name, and ye say, wherein have we despised thy name? Ye offer polluted bread upon mine altar, and ye say, wherein have we polluted thee? In that ye say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. And if ye offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if ye offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee, or accept thy person, saith the Lord of hosts? So here, God's annoyed with his people. They're just, yeah, okay, here on earth, we are afraid of our own fleshly father. We have respect also for our boss. We're afraid of our boss. We do things for our boss because we want to be employed. And then it says here, why aren't you like that with the Lord? He says, offer it now to thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee? And it's no, wouldn't. Wouldn't at all. And we wouldn't do that to someone in authority. And so why do we do it to the Lord? Why do we not give our best to the Lord? And like I've said before, I'm guilty of this as well. But that's why we have to continually look at our own salvation with fear and trembling and to continually desire to give the Lord our best. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24. Matthew 6 verse 24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Now this is a source of fear. It should be. Because if you think about it, if you love God, you hate mammon. But then contrary-wise, hints that if you love mammon, which is worldly wealth, you hate God. You know, that's pretty scary stuff. You know, like if you get drawn into loving the wealth and the so forth that you accumulate here on earth, then if you love that, then you hate God. If your focus is so much on that, then you're pushing God to the side, which is, it's not a good thing. And that is where fear belongs. You know, that's the fear of the Lord. Okay, verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much more better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? So, there is a problem. There is a problem when, like in our lives, the problem arises when we're serving those things of this earth that pass away. You know, like the things that we accumulate here, we can't take with us. They pass away. As it says there that there was something in there, like the grass of the field, right, and then it's gone into the oven and it just disappears. There you go, grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven. So if we put our efforts into that, and not our efforts into serving God, that's when the problem arises. And it says there, we'll go on, verse 31. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So God understands we have to live on earth. We have to do things here. We have to kind of serve mammon in a kind of way. But we serve God number one. That's our number one priority, is to serve God. And then it says there that, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. So if you think about this, God knows we need this stuff to live on earth. He knows we need the clothes and the house and the food and all that sort of stuff. He knows that. So he, if we serve him ahead of serving these paths that lead, you know, in our mind to that, he is obligated to provide those things. And that's what it says here. He knows we need it. So if we put him number one, he is obligated to provide everything else. And we've got many testimonies here of God doing that for his saints. And look, it's a balancing act. It really is. It's a daily balancing act where we look with fear and trembling. And I was just reflecting on another couple of things. Like, I have to renew my working with children card, and I keep delaying it because work keeps getting in the way. I mean, it's a minor thing, you know, if there's a deadline, but when I get close, I've got to hurry up with that. I've got to book the scout camp for the outreach in October. I've got a bit of time there, but work keeps getting in the way. And then the tough one for me is visiting Lena. Now, 14 weeks is since Tim has left. I've visited Lena twice. She knows that. But my excuse, work keeps getting in the way. Oh, I'm tired when I come home from work. I've got to prepare my tucker. I've got to eat. Got to have flake out on the couch. Got to rest. You know, got to get up early for work. Those things are serving mammon. But visiting Lena, it says in James, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. So if I visit Lena more often, I am laying up treasure in heaven, aren't I? I'm not laying up treasure here on earth. And so we all have this balancing act. We've got to work. I mean, it says elsewhere, if you don't work, you don't eat, you know, and we have to serve our masters as unto the Lord. So these are scriptures as well. But it's this balancing act that we've all got to do, including myself. And we need to look at it with fear. You know, what's important? What's more important? And, you know, I'm thinking about it, like currently in my role at the moment, I work with some pretty talented people, people that are so good at their job. But their focus is elsewhere. They've spent their life with this focus of their career to get to this point. And I thought, man, I suppose I could have been that good, but we'll never be as good in our work as others of the world because we can't focus on it as much. You know, I remember as a child thinking, yeah, I could be really good at stuff. But our focus isn't on the things of the earth. Our focus is on the things of the Lord. And so these people, that's their whole life is their career, and they're focused on that one thing. Yeah, okay, we lead our life, but we're focused on the Lord. Our focus is not our career. And but even so, contrary to logic, God still blesses. God still puts gives us favour in the sight of others' eyes. And I just pinch myself continually. Why am I where I am? I mean, I'm just, you know, I'm not a career man. Although every now and again I have thought, gee, if I'd done this, then I'd be there. And I think, oh, you drongo, what'd you do that for? But I'm not really a career man. And but the Lord still just provides, blesses, if you focus on the Lord. And there's a young bloke I see at work and he has to do the droll, the filing, and, you know, the ordering stationery. But he does it knowing that he won't have to do it in future. His focus is his career. So he works through all that droll, knowing that he'll get somewhere else. And just a couple of examples. When I was on this cycling trip, I met this three people that were retired and they were comfortable with their life, what they'd achieved. All three of them started a point where we all would have started. You know, they would have done the droll. And one of them was a bloke who was a lawyer for the UN. He lived in New York. Amazing career. Amazing. He is such a nice fella. I was just having a chinwag with him sitting on the grass. He was so humble and he had this amazing career as a lawyer with the UN based in New York. He ended up having more fun speaking a bit of Swahili with me, like, but he was just incredible. Another bloke who was a lawyer, he lived in Melbourne and he actually worked on the Westgate Bridge collapse. He represented Vic Rhodes in this phenomenal case. It's a huge case for Australia. And he was comfortable, he was a humble bloke, had this great career, and he looked back and it was he was just happy with what he achieved. Another fella, he was a commissioner of Main Roads, and then he was also the CEO of the Water Corporation. When I met him, he was a chancellor at Curtin University. I'd met someone else who was the chancellor at a university, and then he became the governor of Western Australia. So that's his stepping stone. These are amazing careers. But they achieved their goals, as so few people do in life. You know, things come up and people don't achieve their goals, but all of those amazing efforts will disappear. That they're serving mammon. These are riches on earth. They're not riches in heaven. So, yes, these are incredible people, done incredible things, but it's nothing before God. Their efforts are wasted. And we all have serious things in our lives that we have to balance with, that are keeping us from serving God to the full extent we want to. That's why we do what we can. And we all, therefore, need to individually consider our responsibilities before the Lord. And it really struck me last week, I think it was, when Rod, we had the outreach planned in Collie, and Rod rang me. He felt so bad because deep inside Rod is this, just this desire, this responsibility he feels to serving the Lord. And he felt so bad because something came up that kept him from the outreach. And I thought, wow. And I just said, I was kind of flippant, as Rod would probably remember. I think, don't worry about it. Things come up. It's the way it is. But still, Rod just felt so bad. And it didn't matter because these things that came up, they just get in the way. It's this balancing act. But deep inside him was this responsibility that he felt toward the Lord and his way. He was looking at his salvation with fear and trembling, and this thing came up. So it was just so good to see that in Rod. But it didn't really matter because he was balancing things up in his walk. Okay, back in chapter 19. Oh, sorry, chapter 6, verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Okay, so I've also hear every now and again, you know, that what some saints do in the background, you know, like it's just, and I think that's just so, like things that they do for the Lord, you know. Like they don't blazon abroad what they're doing in the background, but I hear every now and again what people do, what saints do for others in the background. And I think what a beautiful and cohesive body of Christ we are here in Bunbury, in the southwest. We really are. We've got this support network for other saints, and there's people running around in the background that are doing things, that are putting time aside, serving the Lord in their own way. You know, they're laying up treasures in heaven by doing this sort of thing. And it's just so nice to see, you know, that we are this little community. And just on that, you know, the scripture I put on the newsletter was for encouragement for everyone else, of course, but during the week it was quite an encouragement to me. Like, it just, where if the Lord, if he doesn't keep the city, the watchmen wake in vain. That's part of the scripture. And there's this thing that happened during the week where I sat back and I thought, wow, God himself views our little assembly here in the southwest as a beautiful thing. You know, we are this spiritual city, and he has built spiritual walls around it. And in a way, I was talking to Tim, trying to grasp things, you know, it's kind of new still. I said, I realize that in a way, I'm kind of like this watchman who's standing on the spiritual walls, you know, what's going on outside. But the Lord, he keeps this city because it's beautiful in his eyes. And that's what I was saying, this beautiful, cohesive body we have here. It's truly beautiful. Well, in my eyes, and this week I just thought, yep, the Lord is keeping this city, which is so refreshing. I mean, I know everyone here cares for this assembly. I care for it deeply as well, but so does God. You know, like God has his eye on us. He wants us to continue walking in spirit and in truth by laying up treasure in heaven, because that's where God is. God's in heaven, the spiritual heaven. So if we lay up treasure there, you know, that's where our heart is. Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 14. Matthew 25 and verse 14. I might have to expedite this. I was going to read the whole lot, but. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man travelling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1. To every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. Likewise, he that received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that received 1 went and digged in the earth, and hid his Lord's money. Now, this here, as you all know, Tim was saying that this scripture really hit him, you know, with that fear of the Lord before he became a pastor. The person who was presenting this to Tim at the time was saying, well, if you've got these 5 talents and you trade and you get 10, well, like you could be only using 8, you know, and you're neglecting 2. And that really struck Tim because that's when he put his hand up to be a pastor. Now, I think we all have a propensity to do this. And as I described at the start, I was one of them as well. I wanted to ignore all these abilities. I just wanted to come to the meetings and go home. But then we go through, and so the one that was given 5 and the one that was given 2, they traded and they entered in the glory of the Lord. But verse 24, then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathered where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast, that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gathered where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchanges, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which hath 10 talents, for unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So this should be a source of fear. You know, if we neglect what God's given us and we don't trade it, i.e. we don't use it. You know, like, and it says there at the start, according to the several ability. So he knows what our ability is and he's granted talents accordingly. So, and you just use them as the Lord has granted them to you, you know, and you do that as unto the Lord. You serve the Lord. The consequence is a fearful consequence. And, you know, like I said before, I've been there. I know what it's like. Thinking about this consequence, this fearful thing, when you neglect what the Lord has given you. And by ignoring it, I was thinking, by ignoring these talents that the Lord has given us to be used for the purpose of the Lord, you are frustrating him. You know, it's a frustration to God. And here's another example of me being a little bit recalcitrant. When Tim was here, I always wanted to get off the talk roster. I remember the first time he asked me to put me on the talk roster, I said, oh, okay, I'll give it a go. And then I stuck. And, you know, and I was reflecting as well, Dennis Garrett was my first house leader in Fremantle. And I clearly remember, it was before I moved to Geraldton, he came up to me and said, oh, would you like to give a talk? And I said, oh, no, not yet. I'll let you know when I'm ready. And that were the words I used. But in my mind, I was going, I'm not going to let you know. You know, I'm just going to. And I never did. You know, I never let him know. But I come down here and Tim approached me and says, oh, do you want to give a talk? Yeah, okay, I'll give a talk. And I was stuck on the talk roster. But anyway, I managed to get off the talk roster, which was great. You know, I didn't have to give any talks. Brilliant. I like to sit, just relax in the meeting. But, you know, I was neglecting a talent and something happened where Tim asked me again, because this is the other thing. When I used to go to Beverly camps, I never expected to give a talk at camp, so I wouldn't prepare anything. It's all right. There'd be plenty of others. I don't need to give a talk. But every single time I had to give a talk, didn't I? So anyway, the word passed around and came to Tim, and Tim said to me, nah, you're on the talk roster. So I was being a frustration to the Lord. I was being a frustration to Tim by not using this talent that the Lord gave me. The Lord gets the glory. And Proverbs, a couple of Proverbs, great Proverbs. As vinegar to the teeth and as smoke to the eyes, so is the sluggard to them that send him. I was lazy before the Lord. Another one, confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. You want to eat, but you can't. You want to walk, but you can't. And I was thinking of that word trouble. In God's eyes, this is a time of trouble. Because in Luke it says, the harvest is truly great, but the laborers are few. There will always, and this is what took all those years for me to realize. In fact, I went to Perth and came back and realized it. There will always be a skill shortage. There will always be a place for someone to step in, to be used, to use the talents that come from God, to use them to serving God. There'll always be a skill shortage. And yeah, it's hard work being a frustration to the Lord, as I've just explained. It's far easier, if God's given you the talents, just to use them, whether it's 1 or 10, it doesn't matter. Just use them. Find your way. Find that balance of serving the Lord. Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10. It was easy for me to open because I've just read it. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 3. The Lord will not suffer the soul of the righteous to famish, but he casteth away the substance of the wicked. Verse 22. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. So Verse 3, it says there, the Lord will not suffer the soul of the righteous to famish. If we serve the Lord, he knows we need this other stuff. He knows we need the food, the clothing, the house, whatever, for us to live. He knows we need this. If we serve him, he will not suffer us to be hungry. But then I also like the verse 22. It says, you know, if we lay up treasures in heaven and put our efforts there, our earthly treasures, which will be a blessing of the Lord because we're not putting our efforts into those treasures, we're putting our efforts into God's treasures. So the blessings, the treasures we acquire here on earth are of the Lord because it wasn't of our own efforts, as my work career clearly explains. Our earthly treasures will not come from our own efforts, but from the blessing of the Lord. And as a consequence, it says here, the blessing of the Lord, it makes rich, so we'll be comfortable here on earth, and he adds no sorrow with it. You know, there's no sorrow that comes with that wealth. Whereas you see so often those that don't have the Lord, those that don't follow the Lord, through all their efforts, you know, just struggling to be rich. And people achieve that, people don't achieve it, whatever. But those that do get that wealth, it comes with sorrow. And where's the blessing in that? You know, you just focus on the Lord and the wealth we accumulate, there's no sorrow with it because it's from the Lord. You know, we have our treasures in heaven where moth does not corrupt. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Okay, Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith. This is a profession. Without wavering, be solid, for he is faithful that promised. Verse 24, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. That's the thing, we encourage everyone unto love and to good works. The good works for the Lord, you know, we're seeking to please the Lord and that love. And then verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, encouragement, washing each other's feet, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So we have this inbuilt desire, as I mentioned with Rod, this inbuilt responsibility, this thing that's in us, which is the Spirit. We so love meetings. That's why you're all here today, because we so love these Holy Ghost meetings. Not forsaking the assemblies and ourselves together. It says elsewhere that the unity of the saints is beautiful in the Lord's eyes. You know, he loves the unity as well, where we all have a common vision. And meetings are so important, as we know, those people that have been walking on for a long time. They help define our priorities. Now, another example, when was this? I think it was 2009, I think. I was going through this rough patch. You know, and between meetings, I kind of waver, thinking, oh, this thing that is on offer is good, really good. I could just go down that path. But sometimes during this time, I thought, I don't really want to go to a meeting, but I dragged myself. It must have been that inbuilt thing inside me that just wanted to come to the meetings. And after the meeting, I thought, no, this is where my priority is. I need to forget. And then the next day, I'll be wooed again a little bit. Drag myself to another meeting. And this happened for some time. But during that time, when I reflected afterwards, I thought, the meetings are so important, just so important, because they help define our priorities. We all wander about doing things between meetings and we look at other things, but we come back to the meetings and we're bang, here, this is where it's all at. Serving God, not serving mammon, putting treasure in heaven, not treasure on earth. It helps us focus on the Lord. And then I look back and I think it's just so wonderful as well with the Revival Fellowship, knowing this clarity, what's flesh, what's spirit. You know, something simple like that, we're trained over all these years to know what's spirit and what's flesh. So many other people that go to other groups don't know that. But we, by going to meetings continually, we have these things defined clearly for us. And our priorities as well. This is where I need to be. I need to be serving God, not mammon. And this is where the true wealth is. And again, I say that I was at the points where I was wavering and so forth. So I've had been in the past, been shaken out of things to understand what God needs of me and of us with fear and trembling. Individually, look at yourself, your own salvation. Luke chapter 12, we'll just finish there. Luke chapter 12, and this here, if we can put ourselves in this situation, what a beautiful thing it will be. Luke chapter 12 and verse 42. And the Lord Jesus said, "Who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth I say unto you, that he will make him ruler over all that he hath." And that's what all of us want to be. We want to be so doing. When our Lord, Jesus Christ, who figuratively has gone on a long journey, and when he comes back, he sees us as faithful servants, doing his work, you know, doing the things that he's asked us. We're here working away, vigorously, focused on the Lord, and he comes back and he says, blessed is that servant whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find. Of a truth I say unto you that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. He knows that he can trust us, because when he wasn't here, we still carried on doing our work, and he knows he can trust, and so he will elevate us, as he's promised, it says in the scriptures, to rule and reign with him. And elsewhere, you know, it says when Jesus comes back, you know, we'll say to him, "We're just unprofitable servants." You know, the Lord just wants us to be simple, unprofitable servants. Lord, we're not making new stuff up. We just want to do what you asked us. That's all. We're not trying to be creative. God's given us a set of instructions here of how to serve him. We are unprofitable servants. We just do your will, Lord. And blessed we will be when he returns and sees us so doing. Thank you.